The news was read by Caroline Nichols. In a moment, the comedian Pippa Evans will take us through her teenage diary. What did she have to say about Michael Palin? We'll find out in a moment. But first, family experiences will give us something to laugh about tomorrow evening.
My parents don't technically live with us. They just visit often, always making sure to include Diwali, Christmas, Easter, the start of the summer holidays, and Halloween.
New comedy on BBC Radio 4.
For one thing, my husband and I have been married 20 years. So we are not even talking about sex, you know? Because why bring up the past?
Sindhu V shares stories about her family.
Well, he married you, so he is my hero.
Sindhustan, tomorrow night at 11:15.
There's a shock for Emma in the Arches at 7 o'clock. Then on Front Row, we'll hear from Saudi Arabia's first female director of a feature film. Now here on Radio 4, it's time for My Teenage Diary. This week, Rufus Hound is joined by Pippa Evans.
Rufus Hound, and welcome to My Teenage Diary, the show where I invite brave adults to look back at their teenage past by reopening their diaries and reading them out in public for the very first time. My guest tonight is an improviser, musical comedian, and the co-founder of Sunday Assembly, a network of secular congregations around the world. That's what she's like now, but we're about to find out what she was like way back then. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pippa Evans!
Thank you.
Well, hello, Pippa.
Hi, Rufus.
We ask, which diaries will you be reading from today?
Well, it's all in one little book because I don't keep them particularly regularly, which actually holds within it 1997 to 2001, from 15 years old till 19. Yeah. So there's a lot in one section of my life and then random bits of others. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
So I gave up on myself a bit.
So you've already edited your edited highlights?
Yeah.
In real time. So this is 1997.
Yes.
What's going on in your life?
Well, so I live in Ealing in West London with my family, which is my mum and my dad and my three brothers. And I am a very, very dedicated churchgoer at that time. Yeah.
How exciting.
Very, very exciting. Baptist church. So it was really woo woo. Clappy, clap, clap. I'm feeling it. Yeah.
A lot of hand work.
There was
a lot
of hand work. I had amazing biceps when I was in church. Yeah.
So it's 1997. Dolly the sheep is the first ever animal to be cloned. The sovereignty of Hong Kong is handed back to China. And in France, the oldest person ever, Jeanne Calment, dies at the age of 122. Apparently, she never really recovered after being given the bumps on her last birthday. But what's the just about to be 15 years old Pippa Evans doing?
Tuesday, 22nd of July, 1997. I've been inspired by reading The Diary of a Teenage Health Freak to write a diary. I suppose I haven't kept up with other diaries because I got bored. Let's hope this one gets more exciting. OK, so what happened today? Well, it's school holidays, so I woke up at 10:18 this morning and turned on Capital Gold.
Not very exciting so far.
I got out of bed and dressed in my mum's old sundress. It's a luminous green and it's a no-bra job. I don't know if I like it or not, but it does mean I can get a better suntan! ! Anyway, it was really hot, 26 degrees, I think, but I kept finding things to do, so I didn't spend much time outside. Eleanor rang. She's groovy. Talked to her, then I watched Neighbours and Home and Away. A gal's diary wouldn't be complete without a long rant about love. Oh, at the moment it's Ollie. I mean, it's not like a crush thing. Only sometimes I think he likes me and then the next second I think he couldn't care less about me. It's so infuriating. I'm going to the Soul Survivor thing on Friday and I'm really worried about this Jackie girl. She's been worrying me for ages. I think Ollie likes her, but I'm not really sure. And now he's got his hair cut, he looks quite, well, fit, I suppose. Oh, what to do? I suppose that if God wants me to go out with him, it will happen. But if Ollie and Jackie are supposed to go out before us, I don't think I could handle it. It's almost heartbreaking. I feel my heart crease every time he mentions her name. I was really worried because on Sunday he wasn't talking to me and I thought he hated me, but I'm just paranoid because I rang him up today and he sounded quite pleased to hear from me, which was nice. I need to pray about it. Help me. Isn't it always when you need God the most, it's almost as if he's furthest away?
Well, despite my initial doubts, this diary's got off to a promising start. We've got teen angst, a will-they-won't-they romance, a pop culture reference to Neighbours and Home and Away.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 1990s period drama.
Yeah, it's so funny reading it, because I remember just loving him so much. Listening, and he was my best friend as well. But it's funny as well, that whole, yeah, needing to pray. I need to pray. Oh, but I think that's quite profound, isn't it? Always when you need God the most, it's almost as if he's furthest away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that.
I'll be perfectly honest, right?
Yeah.
The tricky thing I have with your teenage diary is that I could have written one almost identical.
Ah!
That when I was 16, my mum and dad told me and my brother they were getting divorced, and we immediately looked for something more permanent than the relationship that it turned out my mum and dad had. So me and my brother started going to church.
Ah. Well, my mum's theory is that I went to church because I was becoming a woman, and it was a safe space for me to go from being a girl to being a woman.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the cocoon of church, and then that's very similar to you as well.
Yeah.
The cocoon of something other that I can focus on while my tits grow.
Well, if you've got to do it somewhere, it may as well be...
But my parents were quite worried when I started going to this church because I suddenly became quite hellfire and brimstone. And I once accused my mum of not loving Jesus. And she went, "How dare you tell me that I don't love Jesus? I love Jesus in my own way." It's amazing. Just because I don't have to clap every time. So, she made a good point, and from then on, I've never judged anyone's faith because I'm like, yeah, that was so arrogant of me.
It's sort of the inverted teenage rebellion.
It is. I'm more pious than you.
So what was the next day like?
Wednesday, 23rd of July. I woke up at 9:18 this morning. That's a little too early. I posted an entry to the Paul McCartney competition I saw yesterday. I then listened to Monty Python and basically vegged. I made some French toast and felt a bit sick. I cleaned my room. I got rid of the stool that's been bugging me since I moved in here and tidied my desk and my dressing table. I even sprayed leather protector on my shoes. Man, I was bored. I put up a new Postman Pat poster as well as the Mr. Blobby one Hannah gave me. I saw 10 of the Best on VH1, which was by Paul McCartney. He is up his own bum. 4 of his 10 of the Best songs were actually by him. I thought that was very arrogant.
But it's 1997, yeah. And in that year, there were number one albums from The Prodigy, Oasis, The Verve. You're listening to Paul McCartney.
Yes.
So were you a girl out of time?
Yeah, I really believe I should have been born in the 1950s. I'm such a traditional person. And I love the Beatles. I still love the Beatles. Ringo is my favourite. I've seen him live in concert. And not many people can say that because he doesn't tour to the UK anymore because no one buys tickets.
Also, aren't you a bit old to have a Postman Pat picture in your room?
I mean, if you talk to my husband, I still have a Postman Pat pillowcase. I love Postman Pat so much. I don't know what it is, but there's something really... I think it's, again, this traditional thing. There's something so simple and lovely about Postman Pat. I do not like Postman Pat's special delivery. If anyone's seen the new series, anyone seen it? Talk to the wrong crowd. Postman Pat's special delivery. He now has a speedboat,
yeah,
a helicopter, and, like, a jet pilot or something. You're like, thank you. This lady is disgusted.
Please, please, remain in your seats.
But it's like, so it's just supposed to be a show about a man delivering some post. Yeah, that's all it. He's called Postman Pat. It does what it says on the tin. Yeah, Postman, yeah, Pat. And now it's like, what's he gonna do in this snowstorm? It's like, well, he's gonna do what every other postman does: sit in a cafe for half an hour until it goes down. You know. So I love Postman Pat, and I really love the animation of Woodland Animation. So I've loved it since I was little, and I think I just carried it through. There's never been a time when I've not admitted to loving Postman Pat.
the one true love.
My one true love.
Jesus, Ollie, but I think we all know that the sign of a bright red van.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll continue.
I tried to ring Louise C, Sarah and little Paul, but none of them were in, or they were engaged. Why do I have popular friends? I could have rung Ollie, he's always in, but I didn't want to crowd him. God told me not to do that. He gave me a picture of a hot air balloon and said that if I want Ollie, I mustn't pull on the fraying ropes or he'll slip away. Oh, why is it so hard?
Perhaps God gave Ollie a picture of a hot air balloon with you hanging from the ropes underneath him and told him to cut them and fly away as quickly as possible. So, it's quite interesting you believe God was sending you actual visions.
Yeah.
And this felt entirely normal.
Yeah. Again, if the company you keep says that's how prayers are answered, I would have actually sat and prayed about Ollie and would have been like, please, God, send me a sign. But I do remember sometimes seeing things, which would still happen now, but I wouldn't say God had sent me a vision. It would be that my brain has figured something out and made a connection and said, yeah, maybe be less clingy. Would be the point.
Well, let's continue with Thursday, the 24th of July, 1997.
Hi. Wow, it's been 6 days. I just got back from my holiday at Shepton Mallet about 1 hour ago. It was super. I really enjoyed it. Those who were there were Sam, Luke, Nathan, Matt, Mark, Ruth, Robin, Aggie, Sophie, and others. It was groovy. Kevin Prosh, the best Christian music writer ever, was there, and he is excellent. He has a song called Wheels, and it is super. Praise the Lord and my friends! Bless them all! I really want to tell the people about Jesus. Wow! You know what just happened as I wrote that? The album, brackets, which I've never listened to before, said, the Father and the Spirit will protect you from all your fears. Isn't that awesome? Praise God! Ruth and Sarah were supposed to be sharing the tent with me, but because they're so silly, they didn't want to, so they slept in the minibus, and I had the whole tent to myself. I felt God there so much. His presence was huge. I must have been blessed every day at least once. I want to ride on the wheel of God. I want to ride on the wheel of God, yeah. I love this song. I want to ride on the wheel of God, yeah. It literally just went, I want to ride on the wheel of God. I want to ride on the wheel of God, yeah. I want to ride on the wheel. And I say he was the best Christian music writer ever.
What was the wheel of God?
I don't know.
Like a wheel of cheese, yeah, yeah. I'm totally in.
Oh yeah, much more on the wheel of cheese these days. His other song was, remember how I want to ride on the wheel of God went, and his other song was, Lord of the dance, you're the dancing Lord. Lord of the dance, you're the dancing Lord. Theme, Lord of the dance, you're the dancing Lord. Lord of the dance. Everybody dance now! Kevin Frost. Yeah, sweet!
To my mind, the more interesting thing is those who went were Sam, Luke, Nathan, Matt, Mark, Ruth, Robin, Aggie, Sophie, and others. Because I think the thing that kept me going back to church was that it was a gang.
Yeah.
And they were all mixed ages and people that you didn't know from school, so you didn't have all of those associations. It was its own thing. It feels to me that this is very similar for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved having a gang. It was great. And I used to have a bedroom downstairs. I lived in the basement of the house because my parents were so embarrassed by me. But I had a window that opened out onto the front garden, so boys were just coming through my window all the time.
Yeah.
And it was none... That's kind of...
For a quick prey.
For a quick prey.
Yeah.
A bit of a wafer.
So, what was the next day like, Pippa Evans?
Thursday, the 7th of August, 1997. Woke up at about 10 o'clock. I wrote my thank you letters and posted them. I watched a film, Big, with my daddy. The phone rang and my mum said, it's your cousin Joanne. And I said to my dad as a joke, oh, who's died now? And it turned out someone had died. Boo. My jokes have bad timing. Then I watched Whose Line Is It Anyway with the ever so sexy Greg Proops and Ryan Stiles. A list of my favourite men. Jesus, obviously. Ollie, obviously. Kevin Prosh. The greatest Christian music writer ever. Michael Palin, Ryan Stiles, Greg Proops, Ringo Starr, obviously. Paul McCartney, George Harrison, John Lennon, Daddy, Postman Pat.
You seem to have a thing for sensitive yet powerful men. Jesus, Paul McCartney, Postman Pat, and your dad.
Yeah.
Is your dad the only one who doesn't have a message for mankind? Interestingly, rather than write dad, you write daddy.
I know, that's weird there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have called him daddy at school or anything. I would have called him dad, mum and dad. But maybe I'm just becoming like out of being a kid. So yeah. Maybe I'm just playing with it.
Ealing as well, sort of West London, it definitely would have been way more grown-up stuff that you could have been doing. But, you know, as you say, you've got this little sort of bubble that you're in.
Mm.
That seems to be all part and parcel of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, keeping myself, saving myself from being a grown-up, yeah.
Yeah.
Staying in the childish end of things. Which some people could say, as I've grown up to become an improviser and make up stuff for a living, that you could say that I have remained in a childish section of the world.
Yeah. Well, let's continue then. We're jumping forward almost a full 6 months.
Saturday, the 1st of November, 1997. I got a signed picture of Michael Palin, Eric Idle and Terry Jones. Terry Jones even wrote me a letter. I'm really happy. I'm going to write back. Tuesday, the 25th of November. I should be revising for mocks, but I don't have time with everything else. I'm in love with Ollie again. Whoops! Help! Thursday, the 27th of November. It's all right, don't love Ollie anymore. Just a sudden thing.
I mean, I can't keep up and I'm reading it. No wonder God had stopped paying attention.
Saturday, the 13th of December. I met Michael Palin. Here it is in detail. At 10:05 a.m, I left my house to collect Olivia. We went to Dylan's via the Halifax, 90s references, and arrived at 10:30 a.m. I bought Full Circle, Michael Palin's book, and we were told to come back at 11:30. We waited outside and then went inside. At about 12:15 p.m, Michael came up the stairs. He is so beautiful. I suddenly got really excited and I lost my throat. I said, hi, my name's Pippa, and Olivia butted in. Anyway, Michael said, oh, you're Pippa, and he stuck his hand out to shake my hand. I didn't even have to ask. He said, thank you for your rather forceful letter, and I said, thank you for your reply. And he said, yes, you got a letter back, didn't you? Then he signed my book, To the Wonderful Pippa, from your number one fan, Michael Palin. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Palin really is as lovely as everyone says!
Oh, Michael Palin.
Can you remember this forceful letter to Michael Palin?
Yes, I can, because what happened was I wrote to all of Monty Python to get a signed photo, and Terry Jones wrote me a letter back, and then what I got back from Michael Palin's office was just a generic signed photo, which is not what I wanted. And so I found out that the producer of Full Circle was giving a talk to the sick formers at my school. So I wrote him a letter and got the producer to hand deliver it to Michael Palin. And so my letter said, dear Michael Palin, I was very disappointed to receive a generic signed photo from your office. And what I would like is a photo that says to Pippa Evans from Michael Palin. And so he replied, dear Pippa Evans in block capitals, thank you so much for your letter. I enclose a signed photo. I do hope that it will suffice. I'm terribly sorry for our clerical error. Love, Michael Palin. And then the photo said, in massive block capitals, to Pippa Evans. And then my dad met him at a dinner, and my dad went up to Michael Palin, this is probably like a week later, and said, Michael Palin, my daughter would never forgive me if I didn't say hello and introduce myself. He said, oh, what's your daughter's name? And he said, Pippa Evans. And Michael Palin's eyes apparently just went... And he shook my dad's hand and said, quite a girl.
Are you still in touch with Palin, or is there a court injunction in place?
Yeah, there should have been. Because I do also remember Olivia went to an event. It was like, I think you're amazing, remember? And Michael Palin had obviously like made the face to the support person, being like, get rid of this lady. And Olivia got sort of dragged away, and she just screamed, I love you, Michael Palin! We're coming to see you in Ealing Broadway! And he said, like, tell all your friends to stop following me! So, yeah, a reasonable man.
Well, that was the end of 1997. We join you again in June 1998, just a week away from your 16th birthday.
Monday, the 15th of June, 1998. My life is a big pile of shit. As you know, I've been in love with Ollie since the day I met him and haven't stopped loving him since.
Not what you said on the 27th of November 1997. We'll let it slide.
However, yesterday my heart was ripped in two when Luke basically said that Ollie is on the verge of pulling either Tally or Miriam. Yesterday I was walking through Walpole Park and I cried because I felt so alone. I ended up at Olivia's house and just cried for 20 years because I felt so miserable. I'm just so depressed because my whole life is falling apart. I messed up half my exams because I felt miserable because Ollie hasn't bothered to ring in 2 weeks. I feel really fat and really ugly. I just want a boyfriend because I want to know someone loves me. I know I'm supposed to only need Jesus' love, but it doesn't always work. Jesus can't hug me or kiss me in the same way.
Aww. Despite the fact he's got those open arms. It
can't move them though, can he?
No. Did anything ever happen between you and Ollie?
No, nothing ever happened between me and Ollie. And what happened was I spoke to Ollie on the phone because I had to talk to him about what we were going to share on the radio and I wanted him to not suddenly hear it because I didn't even know if he even knew that I had a crush on him. And when I said to my friend, Sanderson, I said, oh, I've got to ring up this guy that used to be my best friend and I've got to ask him if he knew I had a crush. And he went, he knows. So I said, so Ollie, I've got to talk about the radio about when I was 14 and quite a lot of my diary is about you and how much of a crush I had on you. And he said, all right, yeah, no, fine. Yeah, that's fine. and I said, well, did you know I had a crush? He said, yeah, but I never really felt uncomfortable. He said, it was just very English, wasn't it? No one said anything.
So we move on to 1999 and you're 16, about to be 17. You only write one thing of note this year, which is...
Tuesday, the 22nd of June, 1999. I am no longer infatuated with Ollie. That infatuation is gone.
And you don't write again until exactly a year later in June 2000.
It's June 22nd, 2000. How crazy. Well, all to say, I don't go to church anymore due to a lack of trust and hope in God. Is he there? I think so. Does he care? I'm not so sure.
I think God signed off work with stress.
Oh, he didn't give me everything I requested.
Yeah.
What an arse. So well, he doesn't care anymore. It's a very simplistic look at what faith is, isn't it? The problem with my naivety was I was trusting a very kind of two-dimensional children's picture of what God is, which is a beardy man in the sky going, oh, Pippa, I don't know what to do. Thing is about Ollie is you just need to wait, you know? yeah, rather than just trusting my own instincts and believing in my own feelings and sort of giving myself space to reflect on them.
Mm. Well, we'll continue with the diary.
I'm going out with Tim Richardson 4 months tomorrow. I love him a lot. Not so sure how he feels sometimes, but I think he's just not very soppy. I finished my A-levels on Monday. Yippee, I'm free! I'm going to New York to do a show in July.
So it's all come around. You've got a boyfriend, you're going off around the world. And this is, let's have a look. Yeah, about 4 years from when we started the diary.
Yeah.
Everything's come up smelling of roses.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Was this relationship with Tim everything you wanted it to be?
No, he was awful. It was literally like, I stopped loving Jesus and I was like, hey, there's a big void. Let me... You! Grabbed him into my life. I genuinely, I'm really glad I went out with him because I never went out with such an arsehole ever again. Yeah. I can spot him 1,000 miles away. Like, if I meet men, I'd be like, he's a Tim Richardson. I just know it. It's like, no, not you, not you. Yeah, I've got a real Tim Richardson radar. Avoid, avoid, back away. So, in the back of my diary, actually, I've got a few poems that I dedicated to Tim, which really sum up the relationship. So this is my first poem I ever really wrote. I want to turn to you, but I'm scared. Will you laugh at me? Will you just hold me? Will you just tell me you love me? I don't know you at all. You never encourage me. You never tell me you love me. I hate loving you!
That is some first-class teenage poetry.
Thank you very much. It really reads well. I found it really hard to be able to express how awful he was to me. So poetry.
Well, that brings us to the end of your diary, and in celebration of your love of Christian music, I've written a song about you, which is set to the old gospel classic, Michael Row the Boat Ashore.
Ah!
Michael Palin is a god. He means loads to ya. Monty Python sketches you do love. Norwegian blue, yeah. Ollie gave you a DVD, but he didn't pursue ya. You should have said right to his face, I didn't mean to misconstrue ya. You went off to Christian camp, hoping they'd renew ya. And when it comes to Kevin Prosh, it goes right through ya. Then they gave you a tent for three near the Portaloo, yeah. But your friends left you on your own, deja vu, yeah. Michael Palin wrote a book, he signed it too, yeah. And if you stalk him anymore, then he'll probably sue, yeah. In this Pippa Evans song, I've tried to review, yeah. And now there's only one line left. Hallelujah. So now that you've read your diaries, what would you say to the younger you?
Oh, chill out, mate. Yeah.
And what would the younger you say back?
Praise be.
Has this been cathartic in any way?
Yeah, it has actually. It's pretty funny to read how much that real passion for church and Jesus and needing that soul. And it sort of does make sense of why I think it's really important that we talk about spirituality, even if it's in a secular way. And also what's been great was that I reconnected like properly with Ollie, no, and talked to him on the phone. And so you're all invited to the wedding.
We always ask our guests to choose a song which sums up their teenage years. What have you chosen and why?
This song is, in fact, a hymn that I wrote with Ollie and Jesse, and I think my friend Susie wrote some of it as well. So I thought it would be great to leave you with just how passionate I was, not writing comedy songs, but songs for Jesus.
Just want to remind you of the diary entry on the 23rd of July. I saw 10 of the Best on VH1, which was by Paul McCartney. He's up his own bum. Four of his 10 of the Best songs are actually by him. So anyway, as we play out with the hymn, As Long As It's Called Today, by Pippa Evans, please thank Pippa Evans! My Teenage Diary is a talkback production for BBC Radio 4. It was presented by me, Rufus Hound, and starred guest Pippa Evans. The producer was Harriet Jane.
Next week, Rufus will be talking to Giles Brandreth. Annika Rice was on last week, and as well as being a really funny programme, it's quite moving as well. If you get